Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Hello, and welcome back to the Already Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today, we are doing 30 bucket list experiences before age 30 because we have a 30th birthday in the house. Happy birthday to Allison.
Thank you. Yes, it's crazy. The day this episode goes live is exactly my 30th birthday. And even though I wanted to pretend it wasn't happening, I was like, you know what? Actually, I am excited to turn 30. So we thought we would do a themed episode. And of course, I had to do 30 things. And I didn't just want it to be the basic, just the lessons. I feel like everyone does that. And part of why I'm so excited to turn 30 is because I feel like I lived in my 20s. I did so many fulfilling, rewarding things that I set out to do. And I don't really feel like I cumulatively talk about them all at once ever. I mean, when do you be like, hey, by the way, nice to meet you. Here's all the cool shit I've done in my life. Like, no one sets out to just say it all at one time. Mm-hmm. And it was fun for me to look back through my camera roll, reflect on my 20s and be like, what have I done so far in life that brought a lot of joy to my life or was an experience that taught me a lesson or something? So I had a fulfilling day going back in the past into the memory bank to pull these things. So thank you. Thanks for letting me do this episode.
Oh, yes. When we were planning out the month calendar, we realized that your birthday was falling on an episode day. And we're like, wait, we need to do something cool. So I'm glad that we're doing this. This will be so much fun. And I know you said that you are feeling more accepting, I guess, of turning 30. Do you want to talk about that as well?
Yeah, sure. I think the connotation of being in your 20s is a lot of discovery, trial and error. Who are you? What do you like to do? What do you not like? And then your 30s, I feel like is when a lot of people say they're your 20s, but better. You know who you are. You have more financial security. You have better friends. You've cut out a lot of the BS that just you know what? We tried it. It's not for me. And that's the tone I'm getting for my 30s. I'm like, you know what? In the last year, I've really let go of a lot. I've started to have better boundaries. I'm figuring out who I am. So I'm just excited to have a decade to look forward to with more of a footing on life, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like life is dragging me along and I'm just trying to stay afloat. I feel like I'm a little bit more in the driver's seat now than I was in my early 20s.
That's amazing. We were talking about age last night at dinner because I'm with a couple friends in LA and my friend Hannah, who was on the podcast, Hannah Colburn. She said that her mom said that her 30s were her favorite time of her life and she absolutely loved her 30s. And Hannah said that has made her feel less scared of getting older and getting closer to that range. And I feel like that's what you have to look forward to. A lot of people do say that the 30s were their favorite time of their life.
Yeah, because I still feel like I'm very young. I feel in good health. I feel spry, but I don't feel as naive and dumb as I was in my early 20s. less unhinged experiences. Now I feel like the chaos, if I'm trying to be spontaneous or something, it's a little bit more curated chaos to where previously it was just chaos.
It was just whether you planned it or not, it was happening and you had to deal with it. But now it's maybe a little sprinkled in, a little planned, which is like you said, it's controlled chaos. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. But you're in LA. That's so fun. How was the show on Friday?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Little update for my life. I'm in LA right now. I'm on a little weekend hiatus. I'm on a shoot, a work trip. We shot Monday through Thursday. No, Tuesday through Friday. Apologies. Of the first half. Weekend is off. And then Monday through Thursday, both shoots are in California. We did the first half was in Santa Barbara. So nice. So beautiful. Oh, I still can't say. I forgot that I still can't really say what it was. It was a hotel shoot, but I can't tell you guys where, which hotel, but it was so much fun. And I'm working with two new videographers and photographers, Pearson and Taylor. And we are such a good group, such good chemistry. We've been cracking jokes. I love when you're working with someone new for the first time or two new people, and you kind of already reach that making fun of each other point, and it's all in good nature, all fun. And it kind of, I feel like it accelerates the friendship from day one. We were joking around and having so much fun. And both of us, no, all three of us have tons of mutual friends. So that has been so much fun hanging out with them. But yes, on Friday, I got to go to the Jennifer Hudson show because my friend Hannah works there. And it was so much fun. It was a great, great guest. I think it aired on Monday. So by the time this comes out, the episode will have already aired. But the guest was Jimmy Kimmel and Thames, who's a huge Afro Beats artist. Such a fun show. Hannah said it was a really good guest. And Jimmy Kimmel was so funny. He was cracking jokes, just promoting his show. And then, yeah, the artist, I feel bad. I didn't really know her music, but she has songs with like Justin Bieber, WizKid. These big artists have songs with her. And she brought out, I guess there was a big viral moment earlier this year at her Coachella performance. She brought out Justin Bieber because they're like really good friends and it broke the internet. So I think I did actually see that, but she's so gorgeous. And it was an amazing live performance. I got to see like a little bit of a concert too. And it was fun because I was sitting next to the other friends of the production people, like everyone else that had gotten a ticket because they knew someone on the production, and ended up meeting one of Hannah's coworkers' dads because both of us came by ourselves. So for like 2 hours, I had a little line buddy, Michael, and we sat together and waited in line together. And he used to work in LA and work in the industry. And it was just fun hearing all his stories and making an unexpected new friend.
Wow. I love that. That yeah. All around sounds like such a cool experience.
No, I'm having a very LA weekend. That was kind of the goal because I feel like there's things that are so LA that everyone needs to do at some point if you're visiting. So going to a live studio audience, check that off. We went to Erewhon today and got the Hailey Bieber smoothie. That was one of those things that I feel like is so LA that you have to do. And I'd never been to Erewhon, which is the crazy expensive grocery store. If you're listening, you're like, what's Erewhon? It was funny. We were joking that Whole Foods used to be so expensive and so high caliber, high tier. And Erewhon said, no, we're coming in. You think what, $15 for a smoothie is expensive? We're making it $20. Like a pack of berries was like $44. It's crazy, but it's hilarious. And there's some normal price things. I was comparing prices. I'm like, okay, there's some things that are actually normally priced, but they were having fun with some of these prices. Our friend Megan Hummy posted a video. She went there a couple weeks ago and there was a bag of ice for $30, a tiny, tiny bag, not like a giant bag, like a very tiny bag of ice. So I think they're honestly just trying to see what they can get away with. I think it's fun, but the Hailey Bieber smoothie was delish. It was kind of worth the hype. I get why they've kept it on the menu. And we also played sand volleyball this morning in Santa Monica, got together with some of Carson and Hannah's friends, went to a very iconic dinner place out in Burbank called The Smokehouse, which has been in so many movies. It's been in The Office. It's been in movies like Argo. There's another famous movie. I'll have to link it in the show notes or something, but all about the restaurant. But it was very cool. There was live music. There was an 86-year-old man playing his heart out. He used to be a big artist in like the 1950s. His name's Jimmy Angel, and he's 86 and still playing live with a band. It was so cute. Yeah. I mean, he looked great. He was rocking and it was like 50s, 60s style music and everyone was dancing. So it's been a very fun, fun weekend.
That sounds like you've been able to do a lot in just a couple of days, like on top of still working.
Yeah. Well, because we're not working this weekend. We have off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So no work right now.
I know, but still, I mean, like for only having the 3 days off, like you maximized your time.
Yeah, we have done some good stuff. Now we're just hanging out. And then I think later tonight, I got convinced, which I'm kind of terrified, a little scared, but I got convinced to go to Universal Studios Horror Nights. Have you ever heard of this?
I actually went.
You have?
2019.
You went in LA or did you go in Orlando?
In LA.
Oh my gosh. How was it? Is it terrifying?
No, I like it.
Okay. Wait, have we talked about this? You said you're kind of into the spooky, right? We talked about this last year.
Okay. My quick take is like when it's just gory to be gory, I'm like, this is boring. Like it's just kind of like gross. But when it's like a thriller suspense, I'm like on the edge of my seat.
Okay. That's fair. Like you need a plot. There needs to be a story. There needs to be a reason, not just being gross to be gross.
Yeah. Just like demonic, just to be demonic. Like I kind of think the ones of like woods and and human scary is a little bit more intense to me than just like made up animated characters.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, I'm got roped in because Carson really wants to go. So I'm going tonight and I'm not really into scary stuff, but I'm excited. I'm embracing it. It's very iconic. If you guys don't know, Universal Studios goes all out for Halloween. It's one of the most famous Halloween haunted house actor setup things. I don't know. I'm going to be terrified, but it'll be fun. Everyone says that. Like, we tried to go yesterday and it sold out. So it's very, very popular this time of the year.
Oh, wow.
So that's my update. And then we'll start working in tomorrow. But any fun updates on your end?
No, well, I hope you have a good time. And I am realizing as we're saying it, I think I remember last year being like, I just think it's so dumb that people want to scare people. And I'm still going to like stand behind that because it is a little bit weird if you like get a ton of joy out of like terrifying someone. Mm-hmm. But that's like a whole other thing to unpack. So
well, I don't remember much in that convo, but I remember you saying, I remember us talking about people that put skeletons in their passenger seat. I just remember that. That was so funny. And you're like, please don't do that. It's scary.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I could go down a
If you want to go down that, go listen to last year's episode around this time. We were talking about that. Anyways,
one other thing on the Hailey Bieber note. I got chrome nails for the first time ever.
Wow.
Because I wanted brown, but I felt like it wasn't enough or something. Mm-hmm. Or it was just like a little too dark. And I got chrome on it. And first of all, I have to say, utter disappointment with American Nail Service after getting my nails done in Colombia and Mexico the last few months. Like, the attention to detail down there is top tier. They've got like a little mini ruler out and like binoculars.
Well, not binoculars. Oh my gosh.
Like a microscope thing. And they're like making sure that like both pinkies are the same length and both thumbs are the same length and that the shape is identical. And I'm watching this girl do my nail and I'm like, hope you're going to fix that, right? Like, this is not even out. And then she just kept going forward. And I'm like, $75 for this underwhelming manicure. I'm so disappointed. But then I've been getting a lot of compliments. So I'm like, fine, I guess the standard here is just like lower. But I haven't been this disappointed in a beauty treatment in a long time. And I hate that feeling. It sucks when you spend money on a service and then you're just like, I don't like it.
Yeah. Also with manicures, I feel like they used to really like rub your hands, cut your cuticles. You have to ask for, and I even asked one, like the most recent time I got my nails done, I was like, oh, can I get like the massage? And she literally just like put lotion on my arm and called that a day. I'm like, girl, I will pay extra. My hands are hurting. Like, please rub them.
No, seriously. I got no cuticle treatment.
Yeah.
No massage, no lotion, nothing. Bare fucking minimum. I'm going back to Colombia. Like,
yeah. Beauty service tourism.
Yeah.
You'll be funding.
I know. I was telling my friend Mick about it and she was like, you know what? You should go to a nail salon and be like, listen, I have a consultation idea. Like, if you want to stand out in the market, we've got ideas and of how you can step it up because you guys are not doing enough. And if you want to be top tier, this is what you got to do.
Yeah. If there was a salon that prioritized, I don't know what your ideas are, but if there was one that was like all about the massage element, like 15 minute hand massage, arm massage with every package, even if it's like $100, I think I would pursue that place because that's what I care about. I want the relaxation. Again, like, I'm working on a computer, laptop, phones all day, cameras. My hands are hurting.
I think it's similar to how you were saying some of the hotels that are like $400 to $500 and you're expecting this really good experience and then you're like disappointed. So you're like, I might as well spend $700 to $800 and just go all out and get the best experience ever. That's how I'm feeling about the nails. I'm like, if I'm already spending $75, might as well spend $90 or $100 and actually get what I came here for instead of leaving upset.
I mean, yes, 100%. But I've given up on the nails. That's why I'm team press-on. I've been press-ons for the last 2 years, almost 2 years, except for my wedding. I was like, I'm doing the real dip for my wedding. But it's just, I go to Marshall's. I get them for $5 a pack. They last 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes a month. It's just too good. Okay. But I'm not saying you have to do that because obviously it's more affordable where you live when you're working and living remote. But for anyone else that's out there, I really was skeptical against the press-ons for a really long time, but now I'm very, very impressed.
Okay.
Any other updates? Sorry, that turned into like a random beauty side talk. What else? Anything before you dive into today's topic?
No, I don't have too much to say. I guess I did go to Vallis last week. Like I said, I was going to. It was very cute, very wholesome. I have just been busy working, mm-hmm. like open to close. Because I'm like, if I'm in Omaha, I'm going to be boots on the ground. I'm going to get this shit done, knock it out. So then when I'm gone again, I can enjoy myself. But it's definitely When I'm here and I'm working, I am like going so hard, like eyes open to eyes closed. And I've been home for 10 days now. And I'm like, I'm tired.
You're like, actually, I think it's time for me to leave.
Yeah. But peaks?
Yeah. I'm going to say my peak of the week. I was working during this part, but I still think it was really cool. We got to film for the hotel we're working at a high tea experience, which is where you have like all the pastries and the little sandwiches and the finger foods. And then you have tea as well. But of course, once we're done filming it, we get to eat it. And it was kind of fun. We had this whole tea room to ourselves, had the most delicious. It was a gorgeous tower of the most delicious foods. It was little lobster rolls, little salmon, lox, bagel looking things, macaroons, puff pastries. I mean, I wish I could eat that meal a million times over. And then also the tea was customized to your zodiac signs. That was so fun. So I had my little Pisces tea. Taylor had her Aries tea. And then Pearson had his Libra tea. So we all had our own tea kettle, teapots, and got to serve ourselves. And it was just so fun. I think it was such a cool experience. And I've been hearing a lot about people doing the whole high tea experience. And even though we were working it and then filming, but at the end, we got to sit down, actually eat everything and have the tea. So I feel like I got to do it. And it was just so fun and cute.
No, that sounds adorable.
Yeah.
And the perk of not really expecting anything out of it and then getting to have the treatment, I feel like is an added surprise that makes it even better.
Yeah, it was so delicious. And I guess also side peak, of course, being in LA, I feel like I have to say this too, hanging out with Hannah. They very kindly let me stay with them. And they're so nice. They always open up their apartment to me whenever I'm in town. So I'm staying with them. We're having so much fun. Like I said, running around, doing all the LA things. They're happy to take me around and do all that stuff. And I also got to see my really good friend Jasmine, who was my college freshman year roommate. She lives in LA now too. So all of us hung out yesterday and ran around and did really fun stuff. So a good people weekend as well.
Aw. Okay. Yeah. Piggybacking off of that, my peak is similar. I've been staying at my friend Mick and Curtis's. They're married and then they have a little almost 2-year-old. That's who we took to the pumpkin patch. And they are also so sweet in letting me stay there in their guest bedroom. And so getting to stay there, and Mick is a chef, or she was a chef, and she just makes the best food and her house is so cozy and inviting. And after I was there, I think 3 nights, I was like, okay, I don't want to like intrude on their life. So I'll go back and stay at my mom's tonight. And this is my peak. I have to read it because I like wanted to cry. Okay. She said, "We'll miss you this morning." I was like, "Can we come see you for coffee at Archetype? LOL, but I know your mornings are busy getting ready for work. Moral of the story though, is that we'll miss you." And that was just so healing because growing up, my parents got divorced when I was like in 8th grade, going into 9th grade. And the back and forth situation that we had was 3 to 4 nights at each my dad's and then 3 to 4 nights at my mom's. And I'm not going to get into like my parents and the divorce and all of that, but I kind of realized that after 3 to 4 days of staying somewhere, I have this kind of like trauma response that like, oh, it's time for me to go. Like that's how long in my mind I think it's appropriate for me to stay at someone's house before I'm like overstaying my welcome, because that was my life for 5 years, back and forth, all of high school, all of summer, like the whole thing. And so after 3 days at their house, I was like, okay, it's time for me to go. Like I felt like, oh my gosh, I don't want to smother them and take away from their life. And when she texted me that morning, I was like, I wanted to cry because it made me feel like, wait, you missed me? Like you aren't like, oh my gosh, yes, finally, like I'm glad she's gone. It was really healing.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know. But okay, let's read some listener peaks. Wow, a lot of fall themed peaks happening right now. Emma said apple and pumpkin picking.
Love that. Another fall themed one. Maggie said took a girls trip up north to see the fall colors. So cute.
And Sarah said, flying home this week to Portland, Oregon to visit family and for the fall foliage.
Last one, Jenica said, went on a fall Minnesota North Shore getaway with a friend. You're so right. All the fall things. We hope everyone is enjoying the cooler weather, the leaves changing. I think we are. So just want to see you guys enjoying that.
As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box at Already Friends Podcast every Monday.
Okay. We're so excited to hear your 30 bucket list experiences. Allison and I agreed I'll read what she had wrote down to kind of prompt her. And then you'll kind of just run with it. Go tell us the whole spiel, the background.
Yes. And I want to preface that I put these in order of age. So starting from like childhood, building up to age 30. So these are not like, number one is not my top life experience. There's no way I could put these in order because they're not really, it's just not possible. Because some were a bucket list thing mentally. Some were a bucket list thing because the landscape was beautiful. Some were a bucket list thing because I overcame some hurdle. You know, it's like, how do you even rank that?
Yeah. Well, how do you place a value on each of these things? I think that's perfect that it's chronological. Okay. Number one, age 8 to 12, you converted a school bus.
Yeah. All credit here goes to my mom's brother. And this was actually really profound when I was thinking about it. And I was talking to my sister today at family dinner of my mom's side of the family is so creative and resourceful. And I think I pride myself a lot on my resourcefulness. And I think it comes from these childhood experiences because my mom grew up in South Dakota and she was in education when we were growing up. So during the summer, we would pretty much always go up to South Dakota and I would hang out with all of my cousins and her siblings and we would be on the farm doing very handy things. And my mom's brother converted this school bus into just a thing for our family. So in the winter, we would all pile into this school bus and take it up to the top of the hills and we would be bundled up with like hot cocoa and all of the sleds. And then we would sled down the hill and then we would come back in and get warm and we would do like trail rides. It was just so fun. And I feel like from a young age, that taught me that like you can just like make up your own rules. Like, why the fuck can't you just buy a school bus for your family and go on random little trips? And like, it's just, that's just so funny and silly. And I'm glad that I had older cousins and older aunts and uncles that made me feel like it's okay to do weird stuff like that.
Number two, ages 10 to 14, summers at my Uncle Jack's horse farm.
Yeah. So tying these together, this is now my mom's other brother. I'm going to call going to Uncle Jack's farm like a childhood boot camp because you were not allowed to cry there. And I say this with love because it was like a tough love experience and I wouldn't be who I am without the summers at Uncle Jack's, but there was no technology, no phones, no iPads, no TVs. Like you were working on that farm. We were cleaning the stalls and helping mend fences and move hay around and whatever was served for dinner. That's what you're eating for dinner and whatever work needed to be done. Like you just did it. We're waking up early. And I feel like it just taught us to be really resilient and patient and imaginative to be like out on the farm and not have, you know, some of those modern day conveniences of being in a city. And yeah, I look back on that like late elementary, early middle school time, and I love those memories.
Number three, age 18, joining a sorority / joining a club of like-minded people and committing to it.
Yeah, I kind of jumped from 14 to 18 because I lost a lot of memories in high school for, we can unpack that in another episode, but I feel like joining a sorority was really, really good for me because high school can be so cliquey and there's just a lot going on in high school with drama and all of that. And going to college and putting myself out there to join like an all girls group was super scary because I felt like I always got along way better with the guys and allowing myself to be vulnerable and seen and get ready with the girls was really healing for female friendships.
Number four, age 19, backpacking Europe alone for 3 months.
Okay, I'm sorry. I sound like a broken record because I feel like this is the bucket list experience that I bring up all the time, but it was probably one of the most life-changing ones because doing that alone at that age, I feel like it just opened up a whole new world. I was like, whoa, there is a lot to see. There's a lot to do. That was when I was a freshman in college. And when I came back from that trip, I was like, I'm changing my major. I'm changing my job. Friend group is changing. Like it really rerouted me. And I'm just forever so thankful for my parents, like letting me go, for me not having like a set plan. Like I just wandered along the way, the people I met, the opportunities, all the little micro experiences that happened in those 3 months. Like it was very, very impactful.
Yeah. Side note, the book that I just read, The Anxious Generation, highly encourages gap years, that age 18, age 19, going and doing abroad, because exactly hit the nail on the head, exactly what you just said. Like you're able to realize you can trust yourself. You can make those decisions. So I think that's so cool that you got to do that because it just probably expedited your growth.
100%. That's a good shout.
Number five, age 19 to now, being romantic with or in a relationship with someone of a different nationality or ethnic background.
Yeah. So prior to going abroad, any of my boyfriends in middle school, high school, if you count them as like real relationships, were all like Midwestern Nebraska boys. And once I went abroad, I was like, whoa, not only have my eyes been opened on culture, cuisine, fashion, architecture, but so the case with relationships. And now to this day, I feel like I'm way more open-minded about the types of people I'm interested in being with romantically. And you learn a lot by being intimate with someone that comes from a different background than you. Like, of course, how all cultures have traditions around lifestyles, food, whatever. Like, naturally, the way we are intimately and romantically is going to be so different too. But all in all, I feel like this quote that's on this mural in Tulum sums it up. It's like, if the eyes could see the soul instead of our bodies, how different our perception of love would be. And I think traveling a lot and being able to be intimate with a variety of different people over the last decade has been really helpful and just seeing people for their inside more than their outside.
Number 6, age 21, how I spent my 21st birthday.
Okay, this is still so on brand for me. So the Saturday and Sunday of my 21st birthday, I can't remember which day. I think Sunday was technically my 21st, but I worked a double because it was a Husker football game day on Saturday. And then there was this huge concert on Sunday. So then I was also working at the arena. I worked all day Saturday, all day Sunday, left on a flight on Monday to Amsterdam, went to this music festival. It was like a battle of the best DJs in the world. And I just went by myself and tried to literally tell no one it was my birthday in Lincoln because I was getting so much anxiety around doing one of those like bar crawl shop book things. I was like, that is the last thing I want to do for my 21st. I want to be abroad, like making life experiences. And I'm so glad that I didn't let the peer pressure of what like everyone else was doing in my sorority or in my town in college affect how I wanted to spend my 21st. And I look back and I'm like, I made like $1,800 in those 2 days, paid for my whole trip. And now I have this amazing experience to look back on. Or I could have just like blacked out, which is exactly what would have happened, and probably like thrown up and been regretful.
Number 7, age 22, riding camels in Morocco.
Okay, there's not really too much to say because it's like, that's literally what you do. You just ride a camel in the desert. But it was one of those things that I was just like, I just want to do that because it seems like a bucket list thing to do. And all around, I will just say like, I loved Marrakesh, the architecture, the food, the interior design, love it.
Number 8, age 22, going to Germany and touring Holocaust camps.
Yeah, a little less of a fun bucket list item for obvious reasons, but my dad's grandpa was German, so my last name is German. And then I studied German for all the years of college, so I actually have a minor in it. And I felt like it was part of the thing. You got to go and see where your ancestors are from. And I mean, yeah, that was a really moving experience going to the Holocaust camps. You could feel energetically how much pain and suffering was there. And I think at a young age, I mean, I wasn't that young, but 22, being able to see something so gruesome, I mean, I guess I wasn't seeing it with my own eyes, but having more perspective on it was good for me to be like, wow, I'm really, really fucking glad that I was born when I was born and didn't have to live through that.
Number 9, age 23, spending Christmas in Lucerne, Switzerland.
This one reminded me of you after you just went.
I know. So fun.
And I was just like, wow, I'm really proud that I was willing to tell my family I wasn't coming home for Christmas because I remember being really scared. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so young. I don't want anyone to be disappointed that I'm not coming home for Christmas. But I just really wanted to go to the Christmas markets and go shopping and have like warm drinks. And it was very magical and fun. And we also went to Amsterdam and Paris like on the way there and then took the train. And I was thinking of how Connor said like the train was one of his favorite parts of your guys' trip. And same, like that train ride through Switzerland was amazing.
Oh, I love that. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a great brand, or even brilliant marketing, but an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and for the shoppers buying much more simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not so secret secret, with Shop Pay, you can boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts getting abandoned and way more sales going up. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout that Alo, Allbirds, and Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Again, that is shopify.com/alreadyfriends to get your $1 per month trial period. And thanks to Shopify for being a sponsor of the Already Friends podcast. I'm very excited to tell you guys about one of our sponsors today, which is Gaia Provides. Gaia Provides has been an OG sponsor of the podcast, and I'll tell you why. It's because we love their products and we want to keep working with them. Gaia Provides is a holistic, small batch company making quality, lab-tested, hemp-based health and wellness products for your pets. So they make CBD treats, CBD tinctures, topical products specifically designed for pets. So that's cats, dogs, and equine. Both Allison and I have some pets that struggle with anxiety. Peaches has a little bit of anxiety. Margo has a little bit of anxiety. Our family dog Dudley, he gets so anxious, especially with storms, and Gaia Provides products have helped him, Margo, and Peaches so much. So we give Dudley the CBD tincture every single time there's a storm, and it really calms him down. I don't know why, but he freaks out with thunder, fireworks, and the Gaia Provides CBD oil has been a lifesaver for Dudley. Margo absolutely loves the chewables. She goes nuts for them, and I'll give them to her when we leave the house for a little bit longer than usual because she has a lot of separation anxiety. She's a COVID March 2020 puppy, so I get it. Gaia Provides is small batch and lab tested for quality, and they're a great company. They care about the community. Part of every single purchase is donated to one of their three partner rescue organizations, and they sponsor products for some of the rescue dogs that could benefit from CBD as well. So they just genuinely care and are really good people running this company. They are offering 20% off to customers with the code ALREADYFRIENDS. So if your pet, cat, dog, horse needs any CBD products, please check out Gaia Provides, and don't forget to use the code ALREADYFRIENDS for that 20% off. And thank you to Gaia Provides for sponsoring the show. Okay, you guys know that I've talked about my PMS journey on the podcast. Hopefully that's not too much TMI, but I seriously had extreme mood changes during my period, before my period, after my period. I feel like my hormones are all over the place. And I want to tell you guys about this product from Happy Mammoth called Estro Control. Before my period, I would get in such a negative mood. I was so irritable, easily annoyed, or would just get in these ruts that I just could not seem to get out of. And I'm so happy that a company like Happy Mammoth has made Estro Control because it's a formula that is dedicated to making our lives easier as women. It contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormone health, especially during that time of the month with women who suffer from PMS. Estro Control supports healthy estrogen levels by helping the body adapt to estrogens in your body, which in turn can help with symptoms of PMS, support menstrual cycles, belly cramps, irritability, and also symptoms of perimenopause. The ingredients in Estro Control help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed. So when estrogen isn't getting processed right in your liver, that's when we start getting those PMS symptoms or those times where you feel very low all of a sudden and just can't get out of it. Some other benefits of Estro Control: it supports immune function, reduces occasional fatigue, helps manage weight, promotes digestive health, and more. Right now, our listeners can get 15% off their entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. Again, that's happymammoth.com. This product I was talking about was their Estro Control. They have a bunch of amazing gut health and women's hormone health products. So go check out their website and use that code ALREADYFRIENDS for 15% off. Thank you to Happy Mammoth for being a sponsor of the Already Friends podcast. Number 10, age 23 to 24, getting Invisalign.
Okay, I share this one because if there's like a beauty or, I don't know, alteration that you guys want to make that you think about all the time, I'm just so glad I did it. I had braces when I was in first grade and then like again, fourth through fifth. And so my teeth were really straight throughout childhood. But then when my wisdom teeth came in, it like shoved all of my teeth together. And then my teeth were too big for my mouth. So they were like overlapping. And I was like, God, I don't want to get braces as like an adult. Like that sucks. So I found a guy in Lincoln who kind of had like an off brand Invisalign where I was able to go in like every 10 days and he would like add another notch. And I was like, listen, sir, we are going as fast as possible. Like, I don't care if it hurts really bad. I don't care if I have to drive across town once a week or every other week. Like, let's get this done by the time I graduate. And I just think it's worth it in life if you have an insecurity to put in the effort so that you don't have it anymore. Because now I feel like I am so confident in my teeth and smile. And that period where they were all crowded, like I really wasn't. And I feel like your mouth is such a thing that everyone looks at when you're talking. And I would like notice that I'd like cover my mouth a little bit when I was talking during that period. And I just didn't like that. So I'm really glad that I was like, fuck it, I'll pay for it. I'll go through the pain and let's just get it done.
Yeah. And you have beautiful teeth. Great smile.
Thank you.
So I'm happy to hear that you're confident now with it. Yeah, it's a great feature.
Thank you. Thanks, Bruce.
Number 11, age 24, graduating college with 2 degrees. One is a Bachelor of Art, Graphic Design. One is a Bachelor of Journalism in Advertising and Public Relations.
Yeah. Getting the degrees, like school-wise, I always loved school. I loved learning. But after that summer in Europe, going back to school and sitting in a classroom was like so hard for me. I was like, I know that I'm not going to follow some regular career trajectory at this point. So it was hard for me to like want to finish school in that sense. And I would just talk to so many people and they're like, you'll be happy you stayed. You'll be happy you finished. And I am glad because it was really hard for me to stay in school.
Number 12, age 24, the fruit photo shoot.
Do you know the fruit photo shoot the way you just said
it? Oh, I know
it?
The fruit photo shoot because you're going to explain this, but it's literally everywhere and it's been on websites that I've used. And I'm like, this is literally Allison. That's so funny.
Okay, you probably know the websites better than me. What are they?
Where they're at?
Yeah.
The one that I saw was like an influencing platform. It was a random one. And I don't know if you're still on it, but you were the face at the login page. I don't think anyone know the website, but like it's everywhere.
Fascinating. Okay. So here's the backstory, guys. This is right after I graduated. My lease was through the summer. So I was kind of just like traveling a little bit, mostly going to Chicago. And my friend Noah, he was an amazing photographer and people would pay like so much money to shoot with him. And he was like, hey, I have this idea for a photo shoot. Do you want to model for me? And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to say no because you're Noah, but like, I don't really love modeling that much. I was like, you know what? If Noah has a vision and he wants to do it, we're going to do it. So after he explained it to me, we went full send. He wanted to do like a colored background with the fruit and the makeup, like all really intense colors with it. So we went and got all this makeup, all of this fruit, these colored backdrops, and like did it in my living room. And it's just funny because the behind the scenes was like very DIY, very ratchet. It kind of. And they turned out amazing because he's a really good photographer and editor. And then people were sending me those photos. There's like an avocado one, a lemon one, an orange one, and a watermelon one. And they, went everywhere to the point of when Samsung like launched their newest Galaxy, whatever it was at the time, it was the screensaver like at Verizon and the phone stores. People would be like, dude, you're literally the background of this. And I'm like, that's crazy that they just like took this photo that we made in our living room. Like, don't they have a budget?
Like, you're like, what? I'll have to find the website and see if you're still on there. But yeah, that photo is so viral. It's so fun. I'm thinking of the orange one, I guess. I didn't realize there are multiple fruits. The one that I've seen everywhere was the oranges. So
yeah, the orange one, really, she shines the hardest.
Okay, number 13, age 24, finishing a half marathon in under 2 hours.
When I was in high school, I did a lot of cross country and track, and the whole thing as like a girl runner is like get under a 6 minute mile. So my fastest ever was 5:29, and I was like so proud of myself, and I was like, cool, did it, never probably gonna run that fast ever again, don't even need to try to. So I wanted a new running record to try to like do for myself, personal record. And I was doing a lot of half marathons at the time, and I just like could not get under 2 hours. It took me a lot of attempts. And so finally, after I graduated and had a little bit less on my plate, I like committed to running that whole summer and signed up for a half marathon in like September and ended up getting under the 2 hours. And yeah, it hurt pretty bad. And now, you know, I'm like, I'm good. Don't need to ever do it again.
Number 14, age 25, putting everything into storage and backpacking South America.
That was right after you and I went to Colombia for the first time. It just opened something. I was like, I got to come back here. And I did. My lease ended in November. And you guys know, not a big fan of winter cold weather. So it's like, this is perfect. Stuff's going in storage. I'm heading south. And looking back, I'm like, no big deal. But at the time, it was a very big deal because it was like the first time I'd done that.
Piggybacking off of that, number 15, also age 25, Quilichua Loop. Is that how you say it?
Okay,
Quilichua Loop hike in Ecuador, 30 miles.
Yeah, this was on that same South America trip. And I had never heard of it, but I was looking on the map. We were already in Ecuador. And I was like, ooh, if I bring this up, we're going to end up doing it. But I'm scared because I'm scared of the wildlife. And we're just going to be in the woods and it's going to be so long and we have all of our stuff. But I wanted to do it. And I'm so glad we did because it built up my confidence in nature and hiking a lot. Like I think on this recent Nova Scotia trip, being out in the woods, I don't think I would have done it if like I hadn't started this nature hiking journey. Because previously the woods kind of scared me a lot. I was always like, not having any cell service, like being so far away from anything. I don't really have skills with, I don't know, wildlife. I don't know. Don't put me on Survivor, I guess. But we did it. And it was really, really fun.
Number 16, age 25, opening New Wave.
Looking back, I would probably not recommend starting a business at that age or just before you've had a solid personal development, spiritual awakening, because either you're going to open the business and it's going to make you have that, or you could have that and then open the business. And if you're not okay, your business is probably not going to be okay. And I'm sure so many business owners go through a similar thing, because it's kind of like having a baby where you're just thrown into it. And I was thinking about it, we're like, yes, some people maybe work at a daycare or in early childhood development, but a lot of people don't. They just have a kid, and maybe their only experience leading up to that is like maybe siblings or cousins, and they're just like, fuck, I'll figure it out, I guess, because I have to. And that's like opening a business, where if you just throw yourself in, you'll probably figure it out, but it might be better if you could have a little bit more life experience before you put everything on the line. Wouldn't go back and change it, just probably wouldn't recommend it.
Number 17, age 26, starting a podcast.
Snaps, duh. Obviously, I had to put this on here. But I drew, like, this is such a bucket list thing. I'm so proud of us. Like, literally every week when it's like 193, 194, 195, I'm like, we have been doing this every week for almost 4 years now. That's crazy.
I know, this is crazy. I don't want to get off our roll, but it is such a rewarding and amazing experience. And I'm so happy it's on your list.
What I love about podcasting is I feel good about the medium, because so much other social media, you're just like staring and scrolling. But I love that with podcasts, you can be driving or cooking or cleaning, bettering your life in some way, on a walk, at the gym. So it feels good to create content that can enhance people's life. Not that TikToks or Instagram or YouTube doesn't. I just love to talk. And it is amazing that we get to talk and share our life and experience with other people. And then it helps their life. Like, that's just, I'm so grateful literally every single day.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, it's a medium that's been around forever, since the 30s, 40s, 50s, radio, listening to people. It's not taking away something, it's just continuing that. And I feel like it is the most healthy way to consume media, for sure, I think. Because, yeah, when you're creating TikTok or Instagram, you're like taking away someone's attention. But you're so right. It's like a nice way to get your message across and make a brand, but not feel like you're making someone's life worse, or like contributing to like a social media addiction or like anxiety, all that stuff. So it is nice. I agree.
Exactly. And I feel like for most of us, if we listen to a podcast episode, you're not really going to binge like five episodes. You're kind of like, all right, this is my thing. I'm going to listen to this one episode. I'm going to do it and I'm going to feel good about it. We have like our own boundaries with it, but I rarely get on TikTok and be like, okay, 12 minutes, here I go. I just do it until I'm like, fuck, I should get out.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I'm having so many revelations. And it's not like I'm sitting on my couch listening to a podcast, being a zombie. I'm on a walk. Like you said, I'm being productive. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the dishes. Like, it's a treat to listen to a podcast while I'm doing the laundry or making my life better. So I do like that. They pair well together in that way. It's very, very nice.
Agreed. All around.
Okay. Number 18, age 26, buying a BMW.
So I've never had a problem spending money on travel and experiences, but I've been pretty frugal when it comes to material things. Like, I'm always like, I'll thrift it, I'll find a way. We can't exactly thrift a car. Sure, you can get one on like Facebook Marketplace or something, but you know, the used car market, there was like all those issues with it. There was the car shortage, whatever. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to go all out. I'm going to buy myself a nice car. And I feel like this is on my bucket list less because of like the finances attached to buying the BMW. It was more like me feeling worthy of having something that was like new and nice and that expensive, because I usually am like, oh, I don't need the fancy thing. Like, I'm okay with the thrifted thing. I'm okay with the used thing. I'm okay with the hand-me-down. So to be like, no, I deserve a nice car that feels good to be in was just so lovely to have it. I think I only had it for like 2 years. It's a whole thing because Clay was changing careers and we were like trying to downsize a little bit, and we were like, we'll share his car. And then, yeah, but I was trying to be responsible. And I'm looking back, I'm like, there were other ways. I should have kept my car. I loved that car and I miss it. And I went on so many road trips with it. And I'll probably just rebuy the same car again once I'm rooted in the United States again, whenever that is.
Number 19, age 26, 28, sober journey.
This started being like, oh, I won't drink for 1 month. Okay, let me try 2 months. Okay, three. And then just kept going and going, because I felt like as I peeled back a layer of trauma or insecurities or whatever, I would be like, oh, there's actually a lot more under here. And I could have kept going for longer. Like, there was definitely more to heal and more personal development to have happened, but it kind of got a little tiring and I needed a little bit more more excitement in my life. So not currently sober, currently dabbling, currently having fun, but it was a really big part of that era of my life. And I'm really grateful that I had the discipline to do it. Because even now I'm like, oh, I don't want to go 6 months without drinking or hitting a joint. Like, it's kind of nice, but I might try that again someday. We'll see.
Number 20, age 27, spending my 27th birthday in Maui.
So my friend Hillary, we were new friends at that point, and she was doing this like social media collaboration with Coconut Information. If you guys ever go to Maui, please, please, please do a cooking class with the Coconut Information place. That's like literally the Instagram handle, Coconut Information. Probably could have had a more fun name, but even like Guy Fieri went there. It's incredible. He has this farm and shows you all these things you can make with coconuts. So we stayed on the farm and then went and did the road to Hana and went up to Haleakala. That's like the volcano. It's a volcano, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And watched the sunset. Truly so magical. I always talk about how Tulum has this like special sacred energy. And I feel like Maui is known to also be very magical and special. So getting to spend my birthday there was such a treat. And while we were on the drive, both on the road to Hana and up to Haleakala, we were just listening to Trevor Hall like on repeat the entire day because he has the song called Haleakala. And now anytime I listen to his music, I'm just transported back to that trip. And it was a really emotional trip because Hillary's such an amazing, deep person and like really feels things and sees things. And that was right when I, you know, stopped drinking and I felt like I was just slowing down and really looking at my life and being like, what do I want here? So yeah, that was a really profound travel experience.
Number 21, age 27, accepting my natural hair.
So this was like 2 months after I got home from Maui and I was really looking at myself in the mirror, the masks are off. And I'm like, why am I even dyeing my hair blonde anymore? Like when I was a kid, I was blonde and then it started getting darker as I get older. I feel like that's very common. Instead of just accepting that, I was highlighting it and then dyeing it and then like really dyeing like my whole head of hair, like such fake blonde. And I'm not hating on blondes. I think it looks amazing on a lot of people. I just felt like I was fighting a battle that didn't need to be fought anymore. And once I finally dyed it brown, I feel like people were like, whoa, you look so much better. And I'm like, thank you. I agree. Why did I not do this so many years before? And I feel like that's kind of like a metaphor for a lot of things in life of change. Like we just want to hold on to either a former identity of us or something about the past that made us feel more comfortable. But then once you finally let go, you're like, oh boy, what was I holding on for?
Number 22, age 27, getting quote unquote anxiety medicine.
I had to phrase it like that to give you guys a little bit of a jump scare because no. Obviously not taking pharmaceuticals. You guys should know me better than that. But for me, the anxiety medicine is breath work, journaling, my walks, EFT, and like body scans. Omaha has been very triggering. Maybe I'll unpack this in November's Patreon. But oh, guys, this has been the worst like 10 days that I've had in a while for like a variety of reasons. It's just really, really intense to come back here. So I have had to be leaning into my anxiety toolkit multiple times a day. And I'm thankful because when I was younger, I just used to have like a breakdown and I'd cry and be like, and like combust. Now I'm like, you know what? This is something I'm going to have my whole life. And so it's a wave. There's days where it's really good, but knowing how to manage it, it's helped a lot.
Number 23, age 28, mushrooms.
Of course. And mushrooms had to be their own category because yeah. Mushrooms is obviously a little different than just breathwork. And if you guys want to know more about mushrooms, go listen to our October Patreon episode. But they just changed my life. And I still want to do like one full dedicated public episode to mushrooms because the mushrooms deserve it. But I love them.
Number 24, age 28, going to boxing.
Well, first of all, let me say I am so excited tomorrow's Monday because my boxing gym here in Omaha is only open Monday to Thursday. And I will be going to boxing tomorrow because I got to get this anger out of my body. The anxiety has been a lot and it's good that I'm doing the practices to calm myself, but the anger and frustration is still in my body when these things come up. And then if I hold on to it, it just like manifests out in other ways. So you really have to move it through the body. And When I was writing this down, I was thinking about how boys get to have all of these contact sports. Like, they're allowed to be angry and frustrated and hostile. It's like boys will be boys and they go play football and have all these contact sports. But girls are like not really allowed to be angry. We're supposed to be so sweet and delicate. And it's like, sorry, I'm fucking angry sometimes. Like, you're not allowed to be angry. Well, when you're not allowed to, it's still in the body and you're still suppressing it. And then it comes out in other ways. And when I discovered boxing as a place that I could safely be angry and just put it all out on the bag without feeling judged or having to diminish my feelings, that was really healing, because I always felt like I had to, what's it called when you logicalize your feelings? What's that word? Basically, rather than feeling my emotions, I just like think about them. I'm like, I'm angry. Okay. Instead of being like feeling the anger, just thinking about it and trying to like rationalize it. So yeah, if you're someone out there who you feel like you have a lot of built up anger and frustration, please go to boxing. The somatic healing is fascinating. And it's interesting because I got so much anger out in the like 6 months I was going that then for a few months after, I was like, I don't really have anything pent up. Like, I couldn't even really get like juiced up to like punch the bag. And today I was fuming. I was on my moped and I was like, I wish this was a motorcycle, because 35 is just not hitting right now. And I'm so angry. And all I want to do is just like drop kick a soccer ball or like punch a bag or something. I couldn't do any of it.
Number 25, age 28, opening an Airbnb and getting superhost status.
Well, obviously I love to travel, and a big part of traveling is staying at really cool Airbnbs. At least for me, like, I think it's so rewarding to like search and search on Airbnb, find this incredible property, and then have a unique experience somewhere. And so to open an Airbnb and host people so they could have that unique experience that I provided for them was really fun, really rewarding. I loved decorating it, getting the reviews and the feedback was just, yeah, really rewarding. And then the cherry on top was Airbnb awarding me superhost. And I feel really excited because I got it again. They gave it to me as of October 1st. And that is like a glitch in the system, because technically I was like only hosting, you know, up till June. So they shouldn't have given it to me. I like screenshot it and sent it to Jesse. And I was like, this is like such a glitch. Like, how did this happen?
Number 26, age 28, going to Soho House with Faith in Amsterdam.
Okay, you guys know Faith. She came on in May. We talked about her moving abroad and her opening Revive. I just met her by chance last year when I went to Amsterdam and then found her secondhand shop. And so then I stayed with them and then we were really hitting it off. And she is a member at Soho House. And one night there was this event and she was like, do you want to go to Soho House and go to this thing? And I was like a kid on Christmas, like inside, just elated. I was like, no way. Like, this is so cool. You think I'm worthy? I can't believe this. Like, I bought a whole new outfit. It was like a really big deal for me. And for her, it was like a regular Tuesday probably. But I need to tell her and thank her that that was like actually a bucket list experience, because Amsterdam is like my favorite city in the world. And then to be with someone who has such a similar career to me and then like get to go to Soho House and meet these cool people, it was just like a trifecta of social, fashion, career, travel. I guess like all of it. It was very, very cool for me.
Number 27, age 28, hosting our group trip in Costa Rica.
So similar to how joining a sorority was like really healing on the female friendship note, I feel like the Costa Rica trip was similar, because I've always been the type of girl that's like really good at having like one-on-one friendships, but not group female friendships. Like, they're really intimidating to me. And I don't know why. I'm still like not fully healed from it. Like, they just scare me. I was actually talking to my friend about this weekend. We're like, girlfriend groups are so scary. And going to Costa Rica and having people from all different places like wanting to come on a trip that we hosted and trusting us to curate an experience and bring a group of people together was just really sweet and validating for what we've brought into the world through the podcast and in healing a lot of that. So thank you to the people that did come on that. And I hope that we host another group trip soon.
Oh, yes, that was such a good one. If I ever have a list like this, that is also going on there. I love that. Number 28, age 29, hitting 50,000 secondhand and vintage clothing and accessory items sold.
When I was in Nova Scotia, I was making the How to Be a Reseller guide, similar to our How to Start a Podcast guide. I don't even think I talked about that on here, but that was like kind of why I went to Nova Scotia, because I was like, I need quiet and focused, and I'm giving myself this amount of time to bang out this project. Maybe I did. I don't even know. But I did finish it. And so in working on the How to Be a Reseller guide, I was like, I should probably like include some credentials on the first page of like why I am able to make a guide. Why should anyone care or listen to me? And so I went back through my whole game day like wedding, which was my Nebraska Husker pop-up era, and then the pop-ups that I did at the sorority houses and the coffee shops and the New Wave and then 1404, and added it all up. And I'm like, 50,000 secondhand and vintage clothing items is a lot. Like, I don't know what that would amount to visually, but it seems like a lot.
That is a lot. I can confirm. That's so many items. Yeah, I did the math. Saved from the landfill.
Saved from the landfill. Did the math for 5 years. That's like 27 items every single day. And I think it's good in our careers or our lives to even like doing this bucket list thing or to reflect back, because sometimes day to day, it gets really real. Like, I'm in here like scrubbing the floor, magic erase on the walls, getting the cobwebs out. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why did I decide to do this? But then it's something like, wow, you've saved a lot of clothes from the landfill. You've created this whole community. You've made income streams for other people. It's been so rewarding. The shop's so cute. This girl came in the other night and was like, I bought this outfit here. And then I went out to Sunny's, Sam's place, and got engaged in this outfit. And you're like, okay, this is why all of this is worth it. But it's good to have that feedback or those numerical milestones sometimes to be like, okay, a difference is actually being made.
Number 29, at age 29, so fun. This one is not PG, so heads up, .. but filming a sex video.
Yeah, you guys did hear that right. I was not going to say this one because we don't really talk about sex on here that much, but I'm like, why? Like, life is life. People have babies. Like, literally everyone our age is having a baby. Like, are there friends and family? Yeah. Like, no one's wondering how the baby got there. Like, obviously they had sex. Like, okay, we're all adults here. And I take photos and videos of like everything in my day. I love documenting. I'll take selfies, I'll photograph my food, you know, the whole thing. And I just found it, I don't know, weird that I somehow had never like filmed a sex video, because I'm like, what do I look like? I just want to know. And so I did it, and it was actually really self-esteem boosting, because I feel like I had a lot of fear. Like, I don't know, what do I look like? What do I sound like? What are the angles? And it just was actually really fun to do and then fun to watch back. And I feel like sex is such a natural thing. And the way porn has made it so commercialized and ick and all of it has really tainted the magic and the intimacy that is sex. And it sucks that I even have to feel like bad or naughty even saying this when it's like, it's so normal. Anyway.
Yeah, I think we'll have to revisit this one either on the Patreon or in an episode, because I'm sure everyone, myself included, has further.
There's some follow-up questions.
Yeah, there's some follow-up questions, but... We got to keep it moving. But I love that. Okay. Number 30, age 29, skydiving.
As of most recent, the skydiving. Well, I talked about the skydiving last week, so I don't really need to say too much else. But I think all in all, being that high up and then going from such a bird's eye view back to reality, or like back to Earth so quickly, made me realize like how interconnected we all are. But in our day-to-day lives, it's very easy to feel so disconnected from even the people across town or in another state or another country, or like, oh, I don't need this piece of trash, let me just throw it over here. Or if I do this, it doesn't affect someone else. But like, we are an ecosystem and everyone is so connected, and our words and our actions all have impact. Like, it's all such a ripple effect. And for some reason, skydiving was just really illuminating to that it's all like the butterfly effect, the domino effect. You could just see it unfolding almost from that perspective. And it was really cool. And I highly recommend skydiving to anyone that is thinking about doing it.
Well, that was all 30. That's so exciting. Thank you for compiling that list. Looking forward to the future. You did write down some rapid fire things that you want to do in the next decade before 40. Do you want to run through those?
Yes, I'll say them very fast. Visit all 7 continents, ayahuasca, Sturgis bike rally, and then get my motorcycle license. We'll probably get my motorcycle license and ride across the country, then go to Sturgis so I can feel, you know, like I'm in the cool kids club. Everest base camp, write and publish a book, become fluent in Spanish, live on a sailboat for like even a few weeks, have all my student loans paid off, buy property in a foreign country, ride in a hot air balloon, go to the vineyards in Argentina, running of the bulls, find a mission that I'm passionate about and start volunteering more consistently. I'm like embarrassed that I don't do that. So I'm just putting that out there. And then the pyramids in Egypt. It was fun because I was making this list with my family at dinner right before we hopped on. And it sounds like this is so much. And I'm like, I don't really feel like it is. Like this, it's like 10-ish things. You have a decade. You do one cool thing a year and it really adds up.
No, I think those are very spot on with you. And I totally see those in your future. Have no doubt that these will be accomplished. But happy birthday again. Thank you for all these fun stories. I hope your voice, I feel like I just made you talk so long and I could contributed nothing because I knew that if I responded to any of those that we would just talk way too long. So I kept my mouth shut. But those are such fun stories. Thanks for sharing. Anything else you want to say to kick off a new year?
I just encourage you guys listening to revisit your own bucket list because life can get mundane and boring and hard with work and all the politics and everything. And it's easy for life to lose its luster, especially if you're just like going through a change or a hard time. And having things to look forward to is so encouraging and motivating and hopeful. Even if you don't make this big, long bucket list, like what's something that you could do this week, this month, or the rest of 2024 that will make you feel a little bit, you know, of magic in your life. Not to be cheesy, but these things do make you so happy to look back on, you know?
1000%. Well, thank you again, Allison, for being here and giving us this amazing list. Happy birthday. And thanks, guys, for listening to another episode of Are You Friends? We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Arty Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, host on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much, and we'll catch you next week.